Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens. I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the Business Marketing Club. The BMC is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world, but if this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's really good to have you along again. The Considered Content team have just put the finishing touches to their B2B effectiveness scorecard. And here to tell us about what they found out is founder Jason Ball. Jason, welcome again to our podcast.
Thanks. Thanks for having me back. I'm a proper repeat offender now.
Absolutely. We like where you've taken us on previous episodes. So you're very welcome back. So before we dive into the mysterious B2B effectiveness scorecard, why don't you tell us a bit about Considered Content?
Yeah, so Considered is a specialist B2B agency. We've been around a little over 10 years now. Essentially, we focus in on the kind of the tech market, the professional services market, and sort of high-end manufacturing across sort of strategy, content of pretty much all types, and then sort of campaigns, often demand generation type campaigns.
Right. And therefore, your B2B effectiveness scorecard is sounding even more interesting. So what is the scorecard and why did you create it?
So we created the effectiveness scorecard kind of as a way to bring some data and rigor to B2B marketing. It's a reaction to all of the kind of the LinkedIn bros and marketing influencers that we all come up against probably way too often, and the kind of influencers that give that a kind of advice of, you know, which is basically because I think so, or because I've got a course to sell or some martech to sell. It's also the kind of advice it's overwhelmingly focused around tech and particularly SaaS. So really we were coming at it from that angle, and it's also a recognition that actually, you know, we don't know everything. We are fundamentally limited by our own experience. Obviously, we have experience with lots of different types of clients and markets and geographies and all that type of stuff. But, you know, we can't pretend that, you know, we've got some sort of fantastic crystal ball. I know agencies quite often do, but, you know, it's a recognition of that. So fundamentally, we decided earlier in the year that we'd make a pretty significant investment into this. And the result is basically a database of over 1,000 B2B marketers looking at what separates the people who are really effective at this from kind of everyone else. And to get away from the kind of the tech SaaS things, we focus not only on tech, but also on professional services and manufacturing / sort of industrial. We asked questions across sort of 8 core categories. So how do they approach strategy? How well are they differentiated in the market? What sort of brand assets do they use on a consistent basis? What level of sort of customer insights do they have, and kind of how do they get them? How they're measuring stuff and how effective those measures are. And then we asked them about a whole range of tactics across sort of lead gen, demand gen, and also around sort of branding and reputation building and things like that. So at the moment it's UK based. We plan to expand this in the next wave, probably into North America, where we do a fair amount of business, and then into sort of key European markets, if I can sort of put my hand down the back of the sofa and find a few more pennies to rub together.
Okay, cool. Well, maybe there's someone here who wants to help on that score. Who's listening?
Reach out, please reach out.
So, what are then some of the things that separate top performing marketers from everyone else?
Well, one of the most startling insights, and maybe it shouldn't have been startling, but is that things that are popular and things that are effective are often quite different. So so if I zoom into measurement in tech marketing, for example, of the top 10 most used measures out of 32 we ask about, only four of those are also on the list of the most effective. So the second most popular, which is social engagement, ranks 28th for effectiveness. The third most popular, the ever famous cost per click, ranks dead last. But conversely, the third most effective, which is closed one, ranks 29th for popularity. And you know, this matters because you know what you measure can have a significant impact on what you then kind of choose to do. And it wasn't just measurements. Yeah, we see a similar thing when it comes to the tactics. So if I stay with technology and look at lead generation, for example, of the top 10 most effective tactics, only two are also on the list of the top 10 most used. Worse than that, three of the most effective are in the bottom six of the most popular. And we see this across the other sectors as well. So in lead gen for professional services, only two tactics are on both the popular and effective top 10 rankings. Wow. So the second most effective tactic ranks just 34th in popularity. The third most effective comes in at 29th in popularity. And the pattern repeats again and again and again. So, I mean, I guess probably getting back to the question of what separates top performers from everyone else. Actually, some of the main things are kind of more upstream. So, you know, instinctively, you know, you and I and a lot of people listen to this, we've been around for a while. We know that things like, you know, strategy, differentiation, customer insights are all key to success, ultimately. But all too often, there's this kind of rush to tactics because there's not enough time or not enough budget to research the market. The study shows that's a serious mistake. You know, if I look at professional services, for example, those marketers who have a written marketing strategy that flows from the business strategy are 84% more likely to be a top performer in lead generation. They're 73% more likely to be a leader in demand gen, and over a fifth more likely to lead in brand building. And you know, again, it's similar in other sectors. It's also similar when we come to differentiation. You know, and there's been a lot of recently about differentiation, distinctiveness, and all that. So if I switch back to from professional services to tech, those that have a clear differentiated position that has been tested with customers and reviewed against competitors outperform the norm by a significant margin. They're twice as likely to be in the most effective group across lead generation, demand generation, and brand building. In professional services, where differentiation is actually typically more difficult and always has been, results are even more extreme. If you can be differentiated, you massively stand out from the rest. One thing to mention, though, it's only when you've got that sort of positioning that is both been tested against with customers and against competitors that you see this sort of uptick. If you just do one of those, you're more likely to be in the kind of the also rans. And the final area is this thing about customer insights. You know, we always say that, you know, there's no one size fits all strategy, but if there was, it's be close to the customer. Those who are closer to the customer outperform everybody else. So we were careful to ask about this. So we had nine different options on how you find out more about your customers, from general research interviews, research into your products, getting better understanding of the purchase group, or doing a sort of data-backed research into your ideal customer profile. So what we see is that broad-based research is not only likely to push you up into the top performer group, but actually across every tactic, it generally makes it's linked to it performing better. So in tech, to pick a couple, those that are researching the broad views of their customers are over a fifth more likely to say their PPC advertising is delivering for lead generation, and over a third more likely to rate their media advertising as highly effective in demand generation. It's actually similar for people who research their ICP, although considering all the stuff that's talked around ICPs and the importance of it, surprisingly few respondents actually research their ICP.
Wow. I guess it's a mix there of some really kind of shocking and disturbing results, coupled with also some reassurance that actually some of the kind of tried and tested methods of old kind of still stand. Do you see, if you look across different sectors, do you see a lot of divergence?
Well, at a broad level, the different sectors report sort of varying levels of effectiveness across the lead gen, demand gen, brand building. So professional services struggles when we look at this across the board. So it significantly underperforms compared to the other two. Actually, tech marketers come second and industrial marketers are the highest performing, wow, which was okay. A bit of a surprise for me. Not taking anything back from all the fantastic industrial marketers I know. Professional services, they're just far less likely to have a written marketing strategy that flows from the business strategy. They're much less likely to be differentiated. So almost a fifth of them say that they're just like their competitors. They're also the least likely to conduct research of any kind than everyone else. So, by the way, they're also the least likely then to have any say in things like pricing and stuff like that. So, right. We ask a whole bunch of other things as well that, you know, I can't, probably don't have the time to go into here. The other thing that the sectors, they do differ in their choice of tactics. So we ask about 39 different tactical options in the study. Yeah, we went for it on this one. So across the sectors, you know, one size doesn't fit all. So of the top 10 most effective tactics used by tech marketers, only three appear on the professional services list of most effective. The single most effective tactic used by professional services marketers for lead generation, for example, is different than that used by technology marketers in the same position, which is different again from those in manufacturing. When it comes to things like demand generation, the differences are more of a factor of degree rather than out and out difference, although professional services make distinctly different choices. Now, whether that's a reflection of that they're performing not so well, or actually professional services is just different. If we focus just on top performers, actually there's a lot more crossover. And actually, even when top marketers select basically the same tactics as the rest, they simply execute at a higher level. Now this, my take on this is that these are also the people who've got their strategy nailed, they've got the customer insight in place, and they've spent time differentiating their brands. That's my view on it anyway.
Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit of kind of how the different sectors diverge. What other kind of factors are there? So does deal size play a role, for instance?
Deal size is interesting. So for the study, we set a base limit of an average deal size of over £50,000, or over £8,000 monthly recurring revenue, basically to get rid of the small SaaS businesses. There's a lot of the research you see focuses almost exclusively on small SaaS businesses and startups and things like that. So we didn't want to include that. May expand to it later, but when we look at the effects of deal size across the entire study, so the thousand and odd, you don't see many patterns actually emerge at that point. But if you look at it at a sector level, you do start to see the differences. So if I look at tech again, those marketers chasing higher deal sizes are more likely to have a written strategy in place, much more likely to have a differentiated position, and far more likely to conduct some research. Things like measurement doesn't change a lot, but marketers selling higher value products and services are more likely to see greater value from the things that they do measure. Those who are working at higher deal levels are more likely to be in the top performing groups across all the three areas. Now, maybe that's just because they're better funded, or because they're only having to focus on a smaller universe of customers that they can devote more time to it. Not entirely sure on that. tactic-wise, we do see some variance on which tactics are the highest seen as the highest performing. It's less clear cut. But for example, when we're going to be using this data with clients, if we've got a choice between tactic A and tactic B, and we know that tactic B works higher at the deal size that we're looking at, then that's certainly where we're going to lean into. One thing that was surprising, by the way, the all the hype around ABM, and I'm a big fan of ABM. It rarely scores any higher than average at any deal size in any sector. It doesn't do badly. It does do better in manufacturing, but it's still not that kind of standout option that I would have expected it to be, actually. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just because doing ABM well is just really difficult. and the people who do it really well. And maybe everybody else is playing catch up. I'm not sure. It was just one of those surprising things.
Yeah. And there's certainly so much hype about ABM.
Absolutely.
But again, maybe that goes back to one of your earlier points.
Mm. So, and we were focusing in on one-to-one, one-to-few, by the way. This was not the one-to-many ABM, and maybe it would have changed a bit for that. I don't know.
Okay. So you've got, I mean, this sounds fascinating. You've got a huge amount of data here, Jay. So what are you going to do with it?
Well, it's strange, actually, because it's rare that you kind of get data that fundamentally alters how you look at stuff, especially when, I've been around this probably longer than I should be. There's a whole bunch of in here that is not surprising, I suppose. The importance of strategy, understanding your customers, be differentiated, all that kind of stuff that certainly people in agencies would spout on about quite a bit, and I'm sure I have more than my fair share. The importance of all that, though, really gets hammered home by all this, because we can see the links between you do that well, you get better results over here. So the optical and tactical mixes has been a real eye-opener. So actually it's actually great to come across something that changes your mind about stuff. So some of the approaches that I wouldn't have thought to recommend to clients for a particular challenge have now actually been catapulted into the absolute must-haves, which I just wouldn't have expected. Maybe I think too much of my own views on this. So basically, moving forward, we're not doing some big report type thing on this, but we will be embedding the data basically in core into how we work from now on. So how we do strategy and planning through to advising clients on which tactics are actually the best. If you come to us and say we want to do X, we can look at X and say, well, actually, for what you want to do, you might be better off doing Y, or a mixture of A, B, and G and things like that. So, the plan really is to use this to sort of eliminate a lot of the guesswork that surrounds all of this sort of stuff.
Sounds great. And how about our listeners? How can they try out the scorecard? And actually, when they try it out, what can they expect back?
Yeah. So there is actually, there's a free version of it, which you can get off of our site. There's a link to our site, which is considercontent.com. And that'll enable you to see how you compare to the leading performers in your market. So whether you're in tech, professional services, or manufacturing, across those eight categories. Once you've completed that, you'll also get emailed a more detailed report, which will have suggestions for improvement. If you need any improvement whatsoever, you might be in that elite category that never needs to worry about this and can just take the report to your boss and ask for a raise. And also there'll be some links to other sort of resources. And then obviously, if you want to go deeper, we can then use the full data set in a number of ways to identify the sort of best approaches, depending on what you're actually looking to do.
Sounds great. Jay, thanks so much for your time today. Jason Ball from Considered Content, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Jason Ball, and thanks to our technical person, Alicia Gratian. Thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk.